We have spent almost the last 6 months studying the life of Christ. It began with the prophetic scriptures that pointed to his coming, and then his arrival, what he did. We looked at some of the miracles that he performed, those things that got people's attention, said, pay attention to what he's saying. He's not just your ordinary, everyday guy here among you. And then we spent, I think, almost 12 weeks looking at specifically what he said. And the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7, those chapters. And so we've kind of closed that up for now, and we're going to move on to something different. We're going to talk about guarding our hearts. And I want us to begin today with this verse, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, guarding our hearts. And after we read this passage, we'll pray and ask God to use his word to apply it to our hearts, and then I want to ask a question of each of us here today. So let me read this verse here, Proverbs 4 and verse 23. It's up there on the screen. So let me read it. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to gather together, for our health and strength. Lord, we recognize there are some who would like to be here but cannot. And Lord, help us to be grateful that we are here together to worship you, to encourage one another, and also to be instructed and motivated by your word. Please help us in this. And Lord, please speak to hearts this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's the question. How are things with your heart? Not that physical heart, but the unseen part that enables us to love and to laugh, to hate and to fear, to experience life. It's that part of us where relationships happen. I want to just tell you, if you want to do some further studying on this, there is a great book written by a pastor by the name of Andy Stanley, and the book is entitled Enemies of the Heart, and it's worth reading, and I've drawn a lot of this material from that book. Here's the question, how is your heart? That's what we're going to talk about here for the next several weeks, and the condition of our heart. We understand that life isn't always kind. Every one of us here today has no doubt experienced some hurt and some rejection, some people more than others. And the pain and the disappointments that life brings our way can cause us to develop habits that can erode the tenderness, the sensitivity of our heart, and also cause us to build up walls around our hearts. The earliest of these wounds that we often receive in our lives, most of the time, happen during childhood. And at those ages, we have a hard time processing how we feel. But there's no doubt some of you can think back to events that happened even when you were a child. I laugh about it now, but when I was a young fella, I had a curmudgeonly old great aunt we went up to visit, and she fired off a statement, and boy, it just hurt my feelings in the worst way. I was just a little guy, and I still remember that today. And I will tell you, I gave her a wide berth every time I saw her after that. Well, you know, when we're younger, we know it's bad, and we know we don't want to feel that way again. I think about middle school. That's just brutal, isn't it, middle school? Deb was a middle school teacher for a number of years, and I know of others who've been in the school systems, and they say, man, it is just awful middle school. You know, those kids just don't know when to shut up, And I'm sorry if you're a middle schooler here today. I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling you that's what goes on. You probably know it better than any of us here. But a lot of injury is dished out in those years. The danger is allowing that hurt to get lodged in our hearts. And here's often what you hear people say when that hurt has been lodged there. I'll never trust anybody again. In fact, you may have said it yourself, or maybe you've heard somebody say, I don't need anybody. I'll make my own way through this. I don't need anybody. The hurts don't go away. They just get carried around with us, don't they? We just carry them with us. And, you know, none of us probably reaches adulthood without a few dings to our hearts. It's just the way it is. Some have just grown to accept those hurts and have built up walls and gotten to where the point it's just become a part of their personality. And here's what you might hear them say. Well, that's just the way I am. You know, deal with it. It's just the way I am. But you know something? It wasn't always that way. It wasn't always like that. So here's the question today. How is your heart? Not your career, not your family, not your finances, but how's your heart? You know, as we take a look at our lives, monitoring our behavior, what is done and what is seen on the outward is easier than really what's going on inwardly. We usually spend more time monitoring our behavior. We'll talk about that just a little bit. You know why we spend more time and why it's a little bit easier? It's because most of us have help with that very thing. We can't get too far off base with somebody drawing attention to it. Bruce, what in the world are you doing? Thankfully, I've got a wife who's got my back, and she'll tell me when I'm being stupid. You know, somebody the other day, we designed we got some t-shirts for the church, our 30th anniversary. We're hoping to have a new sign up there. It takes those kind of things to get us moving. You know, I remember when we'd have people come visit us in Dominica, we had over 100 people come those years we were there. And so we were getting things ready. And the kids said, boy, Dad, a whole lot more gets done around this house when people are coming to visit us. Is that true at your house? Okay. Well, we got a t-shirt, new t-shirt made up. Every 5 years we get a new t-shirt. And we're, you know, making those available here in the next few weeks. But the lady who was designing our t-shirt, Deb was there that day, and I had this design all figured out, and Deb said, I don't know if I like that much. And the lady, she sided with Deb. So I was outgunned. The t-shirt came out great, Family Worship Center, and preparing people for eternity, and the only thing we left off was Indiantown, Florida. So if somebody talks to you about your church, you can tell them it's in Indiantown. But you know what the lady said? She said, you paid attention to your wife. And I told her, I said, you know, in my life, I can tell you, usually when I haven't paid attention to her, I wished I had. And so people in our lives, they help us to monitor our behavior. By the way, that's why we have police officers. They help us monitor our behavior. And so if we behave properly, usually good things happen. Would you agree with that? If you and I just do what we ought to do, usually good things happen. But that's regardless of what's going on deep down inside our hearts, okay? If we misbehave and we get ourselves in trouble, not so good things happen. But that causes us to focus our attention on our behavior. And in order to avoid further pain, we change our behavior. We change what we say. We change what we do. We learn to modify our words and our behavior so as not to damage our reputation or our career or our place in our community. Now, at work, whatever your job is, there are just some things you won't do. Would you agree with me? Okay. Some things you won't say. Not because necessarily you don't want to. You would maybe like to say those things, but you recognize the ramifications of those kind of things. Now, I'm going to quote you the verse, read it from the Message. It's Proverbs 29, verse 11. And here's what it says. A fool lets it all hang out. There's, in the King James, I think it says, the fool utters all his mind. But it says, a sage quietly mulls it over. Friends, let me just tell you this. Not everything you're thinking needs to be said in life. Sometimes we say things and we end up having to do a whole lot of patching things up because we should have just kept our big mouth, what? Shut. And so in life we realize that. And it's wise and it's also necessary. After all, everybody's got to eat and live indoors, right? Everybody's got to be able to function in life. But do you know, pretending can be a problem because pretending can cause us to ignore the true condition of our heart, what's really going on in our hearts. Eventually, our hearts will reveal the real us, and they'll outrun our attempts to monitor and modify what we say and what we do. Those unresolved issues eventually work their way to the surface, and they'll show up in our actions, in our character, and in our relationships. And here's the crazy thing. Often, they come out in the most negative way to the people that we love the most. You realize that, don't you? And why? Well, because when we come home and close our doors, our safety is taken off, and we just get comfortable. And sometimes we say and do the most hurtful things to the people that we love the most. Somebody has said, every now and then our heart goes public. At some point, we'll no longer be able to contain it with managed words and behaviors. Have you ever noticed in your own life things starting to slip? That edge in your voice may surprise you. Or maybe a resentment that is creeping up towards a coworker on their promotion. Now, you know you ought to be happy for them because you want them to be happy for you when good things happen to you. But for some reason, you just cannot get yourself happy about them doing well. And we may behave like everything is okay, but it's not. It's a symptom. It's symptoms of a deeper struggle. And it's evidence of an internal battle going on. There's an illustration here I got from this book. And how many of you ever had an angiogram or an arteriogram here where they check on your arteries? I have a feeling that mine is out ahead of me at some point. My dad had numerous angiograms, but it is a procedure to diagnose the health of a patient's arteries and to notice and address any blockages. The process is this. They inject some dye into the bloodstream and observe the flow of blood through the arteries. If a blockage is detected, a stent is inserted. A little device is inserted to open up the artery so that blood can flow freely to that blocked and possibly damaged area. Apart from an angiogram and an arteriogram, a life-threatening problem can go undetected for years. A person with blockage may experience some symptoms, but they may seem to be unrelated to the heart. Here's a few of them. Back pain, loss of sleep, anxiety, loss of appetite, nausea, vision change. Some of you are you're thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to go now. Even memory loss. And you know the thing about it, these symptoms can be treated as though they're unrelated to heart health. Many over-the-counter medications can take the edge off of those symptoms, but here's the problem. Treating the symptom may be masking the real problem, causing it to worsen, and it can really lead to more trouble. And so, we too might treat the symptoms of an unhealthy spiritual heart and ignore the deeper issues. Sometimes it takes this kind of form. Something's really going on inside. It's troubling us. So what do? We just go out and buy something new. And that knocks the edge off for a while. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here today? Okay, I've been there. Maybe it's self-medication. You just name your brew. But it doesn't address the issue. As a heart attack has the potential to destroy our bodies and end our lives, So too, spiritual heart disease has the potential to damage and destroy us emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. You know what they say about stress? It is a killer. Physically attacks our bodies. And where do you think stress comes from? Many times, heart-related issues, and not the heart that's beating in your chest right now. We're talking about the seat of your emotion and your will and your intellect. That's what makes you yourself. And eventually impacting our most valuable relationships. In the weeks ahead, we want to take a closer look at four enemies of the heart: guilt, anger, greed, and jealousy. They have the potential to destroy our character, our relationships, and even our faith. I want to ask you to look at this verse. This is in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. The people of God had worshipped other gods around them. They'd been told to worship only the Lord their God, who had been so good to them, but they had sought other gods, and they were dealt with. They were punished about that, but God brought them back. And he gave this message to his prophet, and he said, tell him this, verse 26 and 27, Ezekiel 36, and I will give you what? A new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart, and I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. You know what's interesting? These people that this was written to already had the Ten Commandments. They had the top ten behaviors to guide them. They knew what to do, but it wasn't enough. They needed a change from the inside out. Their heart was hardened towards God. You know, God is still doing some work in our hearts today. You may have prayed a prayer inviting Jesus into your life and into your heart. We say into your heart, that thing of trusting him as your Savior, the one who would forgive your sins, the one who knows us thoroughly. And you may have invited him into your life at some point. For some here, it may have been decades and decades ago. And you might have thought, well, that's going to take care of everything regarding my heart issues. I'm not going to be dealing with anger or guilt or jealousy anymore. Anybody here ever had those thoughts years ago and you realized, boy, that was wrong? Still dealing with those things. So maybe you prayed that prayer a second time or a third time. Maybe you thought the first time didn't take. Lord, please, you got to save me. This is not what I need to be about in my life. I want to just encourage you today with a verse. This is from Philippians chapter 1. I'll have the guys bring it up. This is Paul writing to some believers in a place called Philippi. No doubt people just like you and me here today. Here's what he said. I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. You know what that says? God's still working on you and me. And he's not giving up. Now, we need to show up, don't we? Okay? He's counting on us to be a part of it, to show up. So we're still a work in progress. Still, God's still working on us. And what God began at that moment of salvation is not completed in the same moment. Jesus may have moved into your life, but he probably hasn't been given full access to your life. Would you agree with that statement? He's there, but we've got places we're just not allowing him to have much say about. Not surrendering our lives to him as we should. And you know, that explains it. That explains why, as happy as we are about being forgiven by God, we're not always willing to extend forgiveness to others that need it in our lives. Does that make sense? Okay, so God's still working on our hearts. We know we've been forgiven. We sing about it. We talk about it. We lay in our beds at night and think, boy, Lord, thank you for forgiving me for my sins. But boy, when somebody crosses us in a way that we don't like it, that's another story, isn't it? So he's still got some work to do in our hearts. How about this? As excited as we are about the success that we're experiencing in our lives, the good things, we aren't always excited about the success that somebody else is enjoying. That's a hard issue too, isn't it? It's called jealousy and envy. So we're still a work in progress. There's still some heart work to be done. Our hearts didn't get into this condition overnight, and it most likely won't become healthy overnight as well. It's a process. And that's what we're going to talk about in the weeks ahead. I read this, and I want to share this with you. How many of you remember a basketball player by the name of Pistol Pete Maravich? Anybody remember that name? I see Pedro's hand back there. He's an LSU graduate. His blood runs purple and gold. Just talk to him about it. Pistol Pete Maravich was a guard, basketball player, a Division I all-time leading scorer. In his NBA career, he was selected to 5 All-Star teams and later voted to the league's 50 greatest players in history. Even after his NBA career, he looked to be in great physical shape, as if he could play basketball for days straight. He was rail thin. But on January 5th, 1988, only out of the NBA for a few years, and that NBA career, they played 70-plus games a year. And you take a look at those guys when they play. But while he was playing a game of pickup basketball with some friends, he collapsed and died of a heart attack. He was 40 years of age. The autopsy revealed that his death was due to an undiagnosed congenital heart defect. He was born with only one coronary artery instead of the normal 2. Seemingly perfect health, athletic, but suddenly and tragically dropped dead at a relatively young age. Now that causes us to come to grips with this truth. And don't miss this. A person's physical prowess doesn't always reflect the health of his or her heart. We've seen it. We know about it. I had a dear pastor friend who ran marathons and was actually running when he collapsed and died of a heart attack. He was Ty's pastor a number of years ago, and Wayne's as well. And a friend of mine, 58 years old. So we understand that just an outward view of behavior or appearance doesn't tell the whole story. And you know, you really get kind of mixed up. Because on the other hand, how many of you know someone whose idea of a well-balanced meal is a box of Krispy Kreme donuts chased by a six-pack of Yoo-Hoo? All right, yeah, we got people waving their hands. That's me. That's what they're saying. That's me. But you know something? Their heart is revealed to be in mint condition. We just don't know. What's the point here? Behavior isn't always an accurate indicator of what's going on inside. Seemingly out of nowhere, devastating words cut to the heart and cut the core of an unsuspecting family member. Seemingly out of nowhere, suddenly someone files for divorce, and the family and others just didn't even see it coming. And here we should be reminded of, because of recent events, seemingly out of nowhere, a coworker explodes in a murderous rage and families' lives are shattered. How many times have you heard someone say, you know, I just didn't see it? Every now and then people say, yeah, I saw it. I saw it plenty. But many times the behavior is unremarkable. But something's going on inside that's not being addressed. And that's what we're talking about. I want us to turn today to Matthew chapter 15, because Jesus talks about this. He speaks about the heart. And it's a confrontation that the religious leaders stirred up with Jesus. It's in Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to jump ahead and read verses 10 through 20. Some Pharisees and teachers of religious law now arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They asked him, "Why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition?" For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand washing before they eat. These were the religious leaders of the nation. And over time, the nation's religious leaders had added over 500 additional laws to what was handed down to Moses by God. It was called the tradition of the elders. You don't see God telling the people you have to wash your hands in this way, from fingertips to elbows. That's what they were talking about. Jesus, he and his disciples, they didn't do that. They just sat down and ate. And it just blew their minds, the religious leaders. That's why they said, he can't be from God. He's not paying attention to all the things that we have taught are important. Here's what's happened. The leaders of the nation had assigned the same significance to these traditions that they made up as to the original laws handed down by God. Let's see what Jesus said about it. Look at verse 6 of chapter 15. He gets on to them about a specific thing they were doing, but he says this. He says, you do this so you can cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. Jesus wasn't going there. He wasn't going to just follow that. That was not what God called. It's called fencing the law. You have the law, and you have people that say, well, in order not to break the law, here's a new law. And when you cross this fence that's coming to the law, you're in trouble. Jesus said he's not going with that. So he talks a little bit more. Peter, one of his disciples, says, Lord, could you explain this? Look at verse 15. Peter said to Jesus, explain to us the parable that says people aren't defiled by what they eat. And I'm going to read verse 16 here. Sorry for the change up, guys. Verse 16, Jesus said, don't you understand yet? Anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. But the words you speak come from what? The heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. And what they were going after, there were certain things that the people of God were not to touch. Dead animals, certain things. And if they did, they were ceremonially unclean. They needed to go through a process to come before God. And so that's why they developed this additional thing of a certain kind of hand washing. Jesus didn't do it. And Jesus said, look, the real issue is not what's going in. It's what's churning around in there and coming out. So I was reading this list here. I was thinking of some of the tragedies that have occurred in our nation and the community that we live in this nation. And don't you think that some of that murderous violence was stirring around in somebody's heart and mind? And the danger, friends, of this Wild West of an internet, and we are thankful for the knowledge that we're have access to, but every one of us has to be on guard not to be carried away by the nonsense that's going on over the internet. To be wise, and we have to guard our children's well-being and our grandchildren's well-being, stirring around the heart. So Jesus said, it's not with eating with unwashed hands that defiles you, but it's the words you speak from the heart. The point is this, that God isn't nearly as concerned about what goes into our mouths as he is about what is going on in our hearts and what is coming out of our mouths. You know, I'm not going to turn to it right now, but you want to look at Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. Some of you may know this verse. It says, the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? That's the condition of our hearts. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need to pay attention to the will of God and to what God has to say about how we go about living our lives. Because these hearts of ours, you know, to stand up here and tell you the contents of my heart through my life, I wouldn't do it. I'd rather just have you kill me instead. I'm guessing you'd probably think the same thing too, wouldn't you? if we'll just be perfectly honest here today, that's the condition of our hearts. It's why we need a Savior. It's why we're so grateful to be forgiven. And that's why the work of God goes on in our lives. We've got to pay attention to what he's trying to tell us. And Jesus, in this passage, goes on to say that the heart is responsible not just for our words, but also for our deeds as well. As anybody here today, I'm not going to ask you for personal testimony, but I'm going to ask you to think about it, because we want this to really settle in and give some thought to what we're talking about here this morning. Anybody here caught yourself saying something, maybe having just said or having done something, you said, oh, where did that come from? We say or do something that seemingly is out of character, and we cover our mouths as if to say, I can't believe I just said that or did that. You ask, where does that come from? Jesus tells us where it comes from. We just read it. It comes from these hearts of ours. That if we're not paying attention to what's going on, or we just try to dull the symptoms by buying something new, going someplace new, some other experience, let me just numb it and drown it for a while. We've got to deal with the issue of what's going on there. And we discover when we say, where did that come from? That it's not an exception, but it's a reflection of what's going on there in our lives. How many of you remember a movie by the name of Liar Liar? Jim Carrey played the part of Fletcher. He was a lawyer and a liar. Now, those two words are not necessarily synonymous. But he was a pathological liar, if you remember the movie. And his little boy got so tired of it, he made a wish and said, please help my dad not to be able to lie for 24 hours, just a day. And the whole movie is based on that. The bottom line is his heart was completely exposed. No matter how hard he tried, he couldn't lie. Let me ask you a question. What if that happened to you or to me? Do you think that might get us motivated to deal with the issues in our heart? Jealousy, greed, guilt, anger. These are the things that we're going to take a look at in the days ahead. I want to read this passage of Scripture and then we're finished here this morning. I was reading this morning. I've been reading through the Psalms, and I read Psalm 19 this morning. And these two verses jumped out of my phone. I was reading it on my phone, and it just said, this is exactly what the message is about today. This is the psalmist, and he says this as a prayer to God. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? We deceive ourselves, don't we? We give ourselves a pass. But God knows what's going on in our hearts. People know, they can see what's going on in our behaviors. And it may all seem quite okay, but God knows what's going on in our heart. And he says in this, cleanse me from these hidden faults. That's the place where we began. God, please forgive me. I know this should not be just lurking and harboring in my heart. You have forgiven me, God, and you've told me I need to forgive others. Lord, I shouldn't be ticked off because my coworker got an advance and they're doing well. Lord, I know that's not right. Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Now look at verse 14. May the words of my mouth and what? The meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You see, friends, our behaviors are observed by others, and those who know us and care about us can call us out. And they will, won't they? And sometimes the most inconvenient times and ways. But those who really know us and care about us will call us out. and not going to let us just walk off a cliff and just watch us there sprawled out on the ground. So the externals are easier to observe. It's the internal. And that's why we got to say, God, you monitor my heart. God, help me to be honest about what I'm feeling, what I'm experiencing, and what is tumbling around in my thinking and in my emotions and what's going on in my life. Lord, if it's not what you want, please forgive me. Lord, help me to do better in this. You know what I'm encouraged by? We talk about it a lot here. 1 John 1:9. If we confess what? Our sins. He, God, is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right? That's good to know. Well, we're going to take a closer look at these things in the weeks ahead. I'm going to ask if you would stand, and we're going to pray. And if there's something on your heart today, we're not going to broadcast it. We're not about that at this place. We're not about humiliating anybody in front of family and friends. But if there's something on your heart that you want to pray about, it's beating you up. It may be beating you like a drum. Know this, that God can help you with that. He can bring some peace. I mentioned about a hurtful word that was said when I was just a kid. I'm 62 years old. That was over 50 plus years ago. I can tell you every word she said. I'm not going to tell you. And I got over it. But the very fact that I can remember that says something. Now, some here, no doubt, you have endured some hurts in the course of your life, some serious ones. That was kid stuff. But some have really been injured. And it's lodged in your heart. I'm not playing a counselor today. I'm not trained to be a counselor. I'm a pastor. I try to shepherd God's people and love the flock that we've worked with. But I'll tell you this. God says you bring it to him and he'll help you deal with that. And it may be you need to seek out some professional, somebody, some help to really burrow down deep and take care of that that's causing you real problems. But I encourage you to take those first steps and bring it to the Lord. And ask him to help you, because he loves you, because he cares about what's going on in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the direction it gives us. And I thank you, Lord, for the attention to the internal matters of our lives that we see in your word. Lord, not just a list of do's and don'ts, but Lord, a recognition of those matters that are deep within us. Please, Lord, help each and every one of us here today to bring these matters of our hearts before you and to pour them out before you, Lord, knowing you love us and you care. I pray, God, that whoever needs healing might find that in you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.